You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Because the church has no tolerance for faults. And the Bible says that it's love that covers a multitude of faults. And the church has no tolerance for failure. But when someone falls, particularly in leadership, when someone falls, people begin to abandon that person because our love doesn't cover faults. And yet the Bible declares that when Jesus answers this young man, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself," would be the connecting command. I would like to take you from the exalted heights of theological exegesis and bring you to the down-in-the-dirt lifestyle. There are people that we confront who are no good. And God expects us to bring that person some flowers. It is. There are people in your life who rub you the wrong way. And rather than try to get that person removed, God has placed them in your life so you could love them. We fight with people over administrative issues. There may be somebody in the choir or in the praise team. I missed you guys last week. The choir was here. They did a great job. God blessed them, but I missed y'all. And so there may be someone in the praise team who might not like what Roz is playing. And that's your right. This is America. You have the right to dislike whatever you want. But you don't have the right to backbite nor publicly criticize. My pastor did things that I did not like. He never knew it. I'd go to God. And God said to me on one occasion, "You aren't the pastor." I said, "I'm done." And I served that man with all my strength. Didn't have to agree. I just had to follow. You see, love doesn't allow for conflict that results in brokenness. Oh, love will allow for conflict. Jesus said, if you have something against your brother, go to them and tell it to them in private. And then if they don't receive it, then make it public. But what it doesn't allow is holding grudges and then pouting like a baby because you don't get your way. Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands, their children, to be self-controlled, pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. What does that mean? It means that when I don't walk in love towards my family and then by extension my church family, I render the word of God as worthless. My testimony is horrible. Oh, but Pastor, that person has a bad spirit. Well, there was a time we had one. Did God push us out? No. He surrounded us with someone to nurture us and bring us through. There was a time in my Christian life when arrogance was the key to everything that I did. I was an arrogant Christian, an arrogant preacher, an arrogant teacher. Pride was the foundation of all that I did. I was Pentecostal. I was called by God. I would fast and proclaim it to others. I would let them know when my fast was concluded so that I could watch the demonstrations of gifts. Arrogance was my foundation. Later on, I realized that the arrogance came from insecurity. Being the last child, you tend not to get a lot of attention. And that's because most of the attention goes to the first child, because that's your child of experiment. You make sure they don't fall down the steps. You make sure they don't get hurt. You're trying everything. When they cry, you run in real quick to make sure they're all right. The second child comes along and you back off a little bit, but you still run because you just aren't too sure yet. By the time third child comes, you figure, well, they ain't die. He ain't going to die either. And I fell down 13 steps in our house on Susquehanna. My mother was in the kitchen. I hit every step. I rolled over like a circus tumbler and hit every step. Fell on the last step and cried. She never even came out the kitchen. Later on, I asked, I said, Mom, why was it when I fell? I said, what was it? You didn't love me? Why didn't you come and get me? She said, because I listened to your cry. And your cry wasn't one that says, come get me. And I'm thinking later on, as I began to mature and become a man, I said, she understood that now there's a certain way that I would act as the last child. So I was often overlooked. Everybody else comes to the table to eat. Where's Eric? After they've eaten. Nobody called me. I was in the closet playing G.I. Joe. I didn't always come out the closet. And I was in there playing G.I. Joe. She called people down for food, and they would come down, and Eric was still in the closet. They'd be there, where's little Eric? He's in the closet. Well, leave him alone. He ain't hurting nobody. He'll come out the closet one day. But I would not doubt her love. I would have a problem with her care, but not her love. And some of you are that way. The arrogance and the pride that's coming out of you now comes from the fact that you felt that nobody cared about you later. So you cared about yourself so much, you're going to make everybody respect you. And as I grew and got closer to God, the heat of his love melted the coldness of the arrogance. And I stand before you not a perfect man, but God's man. Able to connect with the failures of the flesh because I've been there. People wonder, why does Pastor Lambert leave certain people in position? Because God left me in position. I thought I was doing something one day when I prayed and said, God, I'm going to treat everybody the way I want them to treat me. That's what the so-called golden rule says. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I thought I was doing something, so I went to God and I said, Father, I'm going to treat people the way I want them to treat me. Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to treat people the way you want me to treat you. Boy, did that change everything. I said, wait a minute. Then I began to understand. Treating people the way you want them to treat you is nothing. But treating people with a level of mercy and forgiveness that exonerates them from bad things by your love is the greatest example of God. There are people in this church who wonder why I leave folks in position. You know what they are. My God, I'm amazed. You're a leader and you can't see that God is using his love to hold a person in check. Jesus put a thief in charge of his treasury. You mean to tell me that you have a problem with someone who doesn't share your views? That we can kill a whole program because a person doesn't see the way I see it? Solomon was confronted by this type of situation. Two women came to him and said, that baby is mine. Solomon was a wise man, but he could not see into the heart. He could not come up with a doctrinal explanation. He couldn't come up with a physiological. Apparently, the child may have looked like both of them. And so he came to this conclusion. He said, well, since both of you make a good case for the baby, let's cut it in half. And the one said, go ahead, and I'll get a piece. The other one said, don't kill it. Give the whole baby to her. Solomon said, that's the mother. You see, one way you can tell if a person walks in love, let's just say that somebody else on the praise team can play the organ, and Sister Roz won't let them play as often as they want to play. And I bring them both together, and I say to the A person, I say, listen, I said, well, look, since Roz won't let you play, I'm just going to disband the whole group. And the A person says, go ahead and do it. Fine, you can do it. Disband them. And Roz says, no, Pastor, don't disband the group. Let them play. I'll just join it and sing. She's the one who should be the directors, because she's willing to put the good of the ministry above her own position. Whenever somebody wants to shut something down, that shows they're not walking in love. They want to be able to gloat over the fact that they've shut it down. No, the Bible said we're to walk in love. See, that's what divorce is. Divorce is coming to this startling realization that I'd rather bust it up than live it out. Divorce, while it is not the unpardonable sin, the sin of divorce is selfishness. Just like suicide, the sin of suicide is selfishness. And the foundation of selfishness is lust. Love says, give to others. Lust says, take it for myself. So when you take your own life, what you're saying to the people that love you is, I don't care if you love me. I'm selfish. I'm going to take it to myself. And that's what divorce is. So some of you contemplating divorce, no counseling is going to save you, because divorce is not susceptible to counseling. People go through 6-8 months of counseling and still get divorced. Why? Because we haven't dealt with the lack of love. Marriage don't have anything to do with all that falling down love, doughy-eyed, eyes spinning in the head. That's the effect of a heroin addiction. Love has nothing to do with that. Love! I wish I had somebody to understand what I'm saying. We go around talking about, I just don't feel it anymore. My God, what does that have to do with love? You're not supposed to feel it. You're supposed to grow. There is no way I'm going to be 21 with Sister Lambert again, because I'm not 21. I'm 32. I'm not going to be calling her in the afternoon going, hey. I'm stealing away from my job. I just need to hear your voice. When we were dating, you get 5, 6, 7 phone calls a day. Now, see you later at 7 in the morning. No more contact till 8 at night when I get in. Hey, how was your day? I don't know. It's all right. How was yours? Same old. But what does that mean? Oh, y'all need counseling. No. No, you grow. It's not a big deal. You're going around looking for, I just don't feel no passion anymore. Let me help you. You got kids, dental bills, mortgage, taxes, church responsibilities. Your body is changing. You're getting older. You can't run up steps like you used to. Everything aches. You don't have the joy anymore. You find that you can't make the cable payment, so you got to cut HBO, got to get rid of Showtime. Everything is changing in you. The folks that you grew up with, you're finding that everybody in your generation is dying. You're alone. You don't feel perky. When you were just starting out, you didn't have anything to worry about. So you're always perky. That wasn't love. Love is I don't feel perky, but let's watch TV together. This is what God is saying. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, most people will find that in the evolution of marriage, you get to a point where you don't get along anymore. Now, that is not grounds for divorce. It is grounds to sit down and talk about your new interest. When I first got married, I was a carpenter. And so all she had to deal with was concrete on the bottom of my pants and shoes. Wood chips that would come out my pockets. Then later on, I became a minister, then a pastor. And then I went back to school. And then the whole conversation shifted. Now, instead of talking about Jesus and carpentry, we're talking about schizophrenic people, people with bipolar disease. Everything's changed. My world devolved. I analyze now. Before, it was just, oh, go ahead. Now I'm like, why are you doing that? If you think you are not going to change, you are woefully mistaken. As you live, you evolve. Psychologically, every 7 years, you become somebody else. The key to marriage is accepting what they become and then realizing they're not going to be what I want anymore. The man is pressured to keep his hair. He's pressured. And she's just, you know, and she's pressured to stay a size 5. You're on diets, and now you're watching Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem and everything to try to get back into your wedding dress. You're not going to get back into your wedding dress. Donate it to somebody. Don't torment yourself and keep looking at it. You see, you got to be smart. Men just rent their wedding suit. They get rid of it the next day because they don't want to be reminded. They'll never fit it again. You got yours hanging up. Every day you look at it, I'm going to get back into that for our 25th anniversary. Yeah, and Jesus is not Lord. But love doesn't have anything to do with those things. You're working too hard on the wrong thing. You're working to try to preserve what's going to change. How do you fix it? Paul goes into it. He says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, I kneel before the Father from whom this whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, listen, may have power together with the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness with God. How wide is love? How deep is love? Jesus tries to illustrate it by saying, if somebody hits you, if somebody hits you, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. He says, if somebody compels you to go a mile, he said, go another one. Paul comes in later and grasps the philosophy of Christ and says, if your enemy hungers, trick question. How many of you have enemies? Really? Watch now. What makes them your enemy? What makes them your enemy? You don't have enemies. They do. You don't possess the emotional or psychological ability to love and hate at the same time. You really can't hate the devil. Watch now. How do you show you love God? Let's go to the scripture. Now I know I'm somebody getting ready to get up and walk out now. He just said we ain't supposed to hate the devil. I'm going to show you quick. First John teaches that the way I show I love God is by loving people. I can't love God if I don't love people. Right? So I can't go before God and say, God, I love you. God, I love you. And then when I come out of the spirit, hate the people. Well, how do you hate the devil? He's a spirit. How can you hate him? You have to hate his people. See, you can't love me and hate my daughter. Now, you might be able to hate Sister Lambert. No, seriously. Because she's not out of me. She's with me, but not out of me. She does not possess my DNA. But you cannot love me and hate my daughter, because my daughter is me. If I'm going to hate Satan, I got to hate his children. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to hate the devil. Okay. You're looking. That's good. Look. In 1 Corinthians 13, watch this. This is why we can make those statements without justification. You can't say you feel anything. You act it out. If you say you love me, watch how you are supposed to demonstrate. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, if I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth but did not love others, I would only be making noise. You hear that? Okay? Now, I can have gifts and tongues, but if I don't love, I'm only making a noise.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Walking in Love, or the program number, 05219A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit betheldeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at betheldeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.